Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
I came up to a swarm of bees. My dad passed it already, and somehow we made them angry. And then when my dad was coming back, he got stung once, and I got stung three times when I was going through it.
We equaled the record of Elvis Presley for the most hits in a year, which was 12, obviously, because he had 12 hits. But
that is genius.
I mean, he sold kind of a billion more records than we did.
I have one son who's a college senior down in Nashville who tested positive with three of his roommates. I can tell you that he's recovering nicely. He's lost a little sense of smell and a little sense of taste.
Find your new favorite podcast with samples today from 10 Things That Scare Me, Safe for Work, and Benefits. What? Like it's hard? Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Fear is a part of life. We fear things we can't see, things we can, and things that don't even exist. And though the things we fear might not be real, the struggles of living with those fears very much are. That's the number one lesson from our first feature this week, 10 Things That Scare Me, a tiny podcast about our biggest fears. In each episode, one person talks, alone in a room, about 10 things they fear the most. Could be a kid, your neighbor, a famous author, it doesn't matter. The guests are united by the fact that, like all of us, they have fears that keep them up at night, define their lives, inform their choices. In the less than 10-minute installments, simple lists of fears become profound reflections on things that motivate us, the reasons we fear, and how fear operates in the world we inhabit together. When it comes to things that scare you, this podcast shouldn't be one of them. Here's a sample that shouldn't cause too much fear for you from 10 Things That Scare Me, featuring sisters Ida and Noah. The siblings check in from their vacation in Maine with their updated list of fears, which feature some old classics, as well as some new originals, like something called Back in Time Lightning. Let this clip put some of your fears into perspective as you listen to those of the two brave sisters.
Fifth thing I think is scary, scared of dogs. The one and only thing that's scary about dogs is dogs on the trail. Because if dogs aren't on leash on the trail, they come running up to you and, like, eating your snacks. Noah, what's on your list?
My first thing that's scary to me is a scary movie. Back to the Future. Thunderstorms. At night, going back in time, lightning. My second thing I was scared of was bees. For example, I was hiking and I came up to a swarm of bees. My dad passed it already, and somehow we made them angry. And then when my dad was coming back, he got stung once, and I got stung three times when I was going through it. And then when we had, like, half of the trail, our dad gave us chocolate. And we finished the hike. My third thing that I'm scared of is spider webs. What's that?
On the dog ladders.
On the dog? On the dog ladders.
There are spider webs.
From 10 Things That Scare Me, from WNYC Studios. Face your fears by hearing others face theirs on 10 Things That Scare Me, available on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. The phrase work-life balance sure sounds great, but desiring to find that balance and actually finding it, those are two different things entirely. That's why business experts and host Liz Dolan and Rico Gagliano have teamed up to bring you Safe for Work, a podcast whose sole purpose is to help you find balance and happiness in your career. Liz and Rico know that work can be stressful, challenging, ridiculous, and even downright cruel, especially this day and age. But they also want you to know that with the right perspective, the right guidance, and a little bit of office savvy, work can actually be satisfying. Hear advice on everything from how to avoid burnout on the job to how to fake an illness when you're calling in sick, as well as the latest from business experts about those moments at the office that can challenge even the best of us. Whether you're negotiating a raise, deciding when it's time to move on, or dealing with that annoying office mate with no boundaries, let alone 6 feet, well, Safe for Work is your handy-dandy cheat sheet that even your boss can't chew you out for. Try out this sample from an episode of Safe for Work. In every episode, by the way, Liz and Rico talk with callers, business leaders, and noted know-it-alls who share their hard-earned wisdom from the trenches. So in this episode, titled Tips for a Lasting Creative Career, you hear from people like indie rock legend David Judge, who joins the show to discuss how to go about pulling off a long-term career on your own terms. In this clip, he talks about some of the clever ways he and his band, The Wedding Present, tried to get their name out there.
I love telling people about The Wedding Present's string of Hit Parade singles, in which you released a single a month for a year. Each of them shot briefly into the UK top 30 and then immediately fell out. And in so doing, you broke some kind of record, correct? What was the record?
We equaled the record of Elvis Presley for the most hits in a year, which was 12, obviously, because he had 12 hits. But
that is genius.
I mean, he sold kind of a billion more records than we did. But
yes.
But, you know, it's in the record book, so I don't care.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. But this is the thing, that they're great songs, but also that it's just a brilliant marketing move. Mm-hmm. Like, they can never take that away from you, David.
Well, weirdly, we didn't think of it in those terms. You know, when we first had the idea, you know, there's a couple of singles clubs run by labels, actually. Sub Pop did one in Seattle and Rough Trade here. And it was kind of, you know, you joined the club and I think you got a 7-inch record every month. And he came to rehearsal one day and said, you know, we could do that. That would be a great thing to do rather than just making, you know, the next LP. Obviously, later people said that was a fantastic marketing idea because obviously you got the chart hits and the continued promotion through the year and stuff. But generally, we didn't think about that at the time. We just thought it would be really cool to have this series of records, really.
Damn it. It's like it seems increasingly that what we seem to be telling our audience is just like do stuff.
Yeah, and then do cool stuff.
And then
just
it'll
try
work
things
out.
And get the right people.
Doesn't always work, though, does it? That's the problem. That could have been a complete disaster.
That's true. You lucked out. I want to ask you about John Peel. This was kind of one of your early breaks. For those who don't know, one of the most legendary BBC DJs ever. He ended up being a longtime champion of yours. He featured you on his show over and over and over again. I feel like it's one thing to impress somebody who can further your career, but it's another to just keep that person impressed for the long term, and they keep helping you no matter what they might get in return. There was a point where he's like, you know, having you on the show long after you're sort of like the height of your superstardom. How did you pull that off with him?
I think it was carefully planned on my part, really, because I kind of grew up listening to Peel, being a teenager in the 70s, and then I kind of listened to him through university and stuff. Almost to the point of obsession, really, because I loved that program so much. It inspired me, and it kind of, you know, in a way, the music that he played was kind of formulated I wanted to do, really, and what The Wedding Present would sound like. So in a way, we were kind of the archetypal Peel band, if you like, because
he created you in a weird way.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what we did was just, you know, listen to the music he was playing and kind of, you know, regurgitated it in our own form, if you like. And so it would have been truly disappointing had he not liked the band, because he was so obviously inspired by the stuff he did, really.
From the podcast Safe for Work from Wondery, get helpful career advice that's lively and fun, just like work life should be, on Safe for Work, available on wvxu.org at the Start Here podcast collection page. The American healthcare system is incredibly complex and probably intentionally so. The less you know about how things work, the more likely you are to miss hidden fees and unnecessary costs that can easily slip through the cracks. And it's the same with employment benefits packages. It can be almost impossible to figure out what you're paying for and why. But have no fear, because this week's Local Cincinnati podcast is here. Benefits, what, like it's hard, is the name, and helping you understand your insurance is this podcast's game. Each episode, host Libby Allison and her guest experts break down the truths and misconceptions about the benefits offered by your employer. This podcast will help you stop worrying and start reaping the benefits of your benefits. Check out this sample from a recent episode of Benefits, What, Like It's Hard? Featuring a COVID Q&A with Cincinnati Family Medicine Specialist Dr. Michael Todd. Dr. Todd joins the show to discuss the medical and physical details of the pandemic, as well as its impact on the U.S. healthcare and insurance system. In this clip, Dr. Todd explains the work on the front lines and the strain being placed on both healthcare facilities and the families of healthcare providers.
Can you talk about, on a personal level, how you and your family have been impacted by this?
Certainly can. Number one, I have two sons, and I have one son who's a college senior down in Nashville who tested positive with three of his roommates. I can tell you that he's recovering nicely. He's lost a little sense of smell and a little sense of taste, but he and his roommates are back on their feet and taking virtual classes for their senior spring semester. As it relates to all the providers on the front line, there's a tremendous, tremendous call to action. And, you know, they are heroes. And, you know, whether you're a bedside nurse, an office employee, everyone feels that call to action. But there's a tremendous toll on our and strain on our healthcare community. And the amount of stress is completely different, but it's not dissimilar to the stress of being in the front lines of any battle. There no doubt is a risk of death in this for our providers. So that anxiety is heightened. And I can tell you that all of the executives and administrators that are mobilizing to build capacity within our ministries and our systems to see the patients and care for the patients, all of us have turned our attention to building that capacity so that we can handle this medical emergency that our community is feeling in stride. Will it be perfect? No, it will not be perfect. Our hospitals, do they look completely different? Yep, they do look completely different. Areas the hospitals are closed down. Our ICUs, we have makeshift ICUs. Of course, everyone's heard about our ventilators, our breathing machines. So we're trying to mobilize new sites of care within the hospital. Where we can care for people that are in need of mechanical ventilation or, you know, assisted breathing. So hospitals are looking differently. Of course, there are no guests visiting hospitals. We're trying, all of us are trying to keep those that are ill with COVID and other respiratory illnesses separate, apart from any other, I wouldn't call it routine medical care, but emergency medical care that is required above and beyond COVID, including those who are giving birth, et cetera. So the hospitals look differently. And all of us are aware that elective medical procedures have been postponed for at least the next month. Many of our providers are doing and providing care for conditions that they normally don't provide care for. It's interesting, internally, I can tell you at Bonsecour Mercy Health, we're doing a tremendous amount of education for all of our providers to develop enhanced skills and relearn disease states that we had not thought about in the past. And there's an enthusiasm for that. And, you know, I mentioned a call of action for our providers, and we're all stepping up to that. Very, very proud of all the providers in our communities that are stepping up to do their service to keep our community healthy.
In our Local Cincinnati podcast creator spotlight, that was Benefits, What, Like It's Hard? From Horan, Cincinnati. It's time you start benefiting from your employment benefits. So get started with the podcast benefits. What? Like it's hard? Available on WVXU's Start Here podcast collection. Each week, we take a look at the Apple Podcast charts, as you know, to take a look at what podcasts are new or up and coming around the nation via iTunescharts.net. Because of its ability to dive deep on topics, amplify otherwise hard to find and hear voices, and present material in a much more listener-centric manner, podcasting can also tell the story of what we value most. Well, two podcasts have topped the charts this week, and they are great examples of that. While the country wrestles with how to deal equitably with people of color and with the contrasting elements of liberty and force, two podcasts have risen to the surface. NPR's Code Switch, which tackles the subject of race head-on and how it impacts every part of society. The other is 1619, that tells the story of 250 years of slavery that followed the landing in America of the first slaves, and how we're very much still reconciling and dealing with that. Code Switch and 1619, number one on the Apple Podcast charts. To learn more about those podcasts and the others we featured today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at wvxu.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.